About the sermon Josh did last week, and we had a great time on spring break. I know there are quite a few of us still on spring break, so we got to kind of huddle in like this today. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or relate to this, but when I was a little kid, I never wanted to go to bed. My sister Jerry is 15 months younger than me, and we were the last two of nine kids. There was a little bit of a gap, right, older than us, and so we always had to go to bed before everybody else. And I just had this idea, this sneaking suspicion, that after they sent us to bed, they did all the really cool big kid stuff. I knew even while we were awake, we had to drink milk at meals, and all the older kids got to drink iced tea. So I knew that was going on. Also, Sunday nights were the only night when I was real little, like 4 or 5 years old, so 50 years ago. Sunday night's the only night I ever remember us watching TV. And if we got home from church in time, we could catch at least part of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And then we would watch Wonderful World of Disney. And then we had to go to bed, and the older kids got to watch Bonanza. That was wrong, yeah, in my book. So I knew definitely they got to do some things we didn't need to, that we didn't get to do. But I imagine my imagination ran with all the other things that must be going on after they just sent me and Jerry to bed. I don't feel the same way about bedtime now. I certainly don't feel the same way about taking naps that I did. You know, they're awesome. But one reason is that I had a lot more energy when I was 4 than I do at 55. But I'm also a lot busier now than I was. I didn't have anything to do except play and sit around and imagine all the cool things I wasn't getting to do. I'm learning about the need to take care of my body now that I gave no thought to back then. And this is important, though. I also am learning about the limitations of physical rest. How many of you have ever experienced this? You take a nap or you get up in the morning and you feel just as tired as when you lay down. How many of you ever experienced this? You go on vacation and you come home and you need another vacation to rest up from the vacation you just had. You know, that didn't happen with me this time. I came back, you know, very refreshed, had lots of time, because really I didn't do anything except sit around and read and go to sleep if I felt like it, you know, that kind of thing, walk on the beach. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus talks about rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus gives an invitation for everyone who's weary and burdened. And, you know, where we live in a busy, hurried society. If you're mostly upright and walking around in this world, you're busy. And, but he invites weary and burdened people to come to him for rest. But as we read on, we find out he's not actually talking about physical rest. Although Jesus did, when you read through the Gospels, you see that he did take time to take himself and his disciples away so that they could rest, because they did take care of their bodies, and he realized they did need physical rest. But that's not what he's talking about here. He talks about rest for your soul. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus was, in this culture, Jesus was a rabbi, and a rabbi's yoke was the way that he read and interpreted the scripture. And the way and the intent was not just to get the correct meaning in their heads. The intent was that they should be able to live it out correctly. And the rabbi's yoke was the way that he looked at all the ancient texts. And all the different rabbis had their own yoke. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And what you're going to find is that I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And the result of coming to me and taking my yoke, kind of my take on the life that you were meant to live, is that you will find rest for your soul. I'm not going to impose on you a kind of life that's going to wear you down to a nub and leave you weary and burdened all the time. In fact, if you're weary and burdened, what I want you to do is come to me, because I want to give you rest for your soul. So if you're like me and you find yourself at times weary and burdened, you find yourself exhausted in a way that a nap doesn't take care of, it might be a sign that I'm getting disconnected from Jesus, that I'm not finding the soul rest that Jesus wants to give me. And when you talk about rest for your soul, you need to understand what a soul is. And we've talked about this some recently, but I'll repeat what I've been talking about. The soul, your soul is kind of your command center that integrates and controls all aspects of your life. And we have different aspects of it. It's all one integrated thing, ideally. They work together, but we all have something called a will. It's sometimes referred to in the Bible as the heart, but this is talking about the center of where we make decisions, where we make choices. When you think about somebody having willpower, it means they've made a choice, they've made a decision, and they can stick to it. And having a will, being able to make choices for yourself, is central to what it means to be human, what it means to be a person. So if you're ever in a relationship, or if you're ever in a culture or a society where you find that there is a person or people that are constantly trying to take away your choice, they're trying to make you into something less than a human created in the image of God, and it would be good to run fast. That's our will. We also have a mind, and that includes thoughts and feelings. Our minds have thoughts, have feelings, we have motivations, we have our reasoning, and that goes on kind of, it's a separate thing from our will, but that's our mind. Then we also have bodies. There are these little power packs God gave us so we can do stuff. And our soul's job is to make our will and our mind and our body integrated, to have integrity, to be whole, and to work together. But sometimes our bodies and our minds and our wills get out of sync. Anybody ever experienced something like this? Like you make a choice and you say, I'm gonna lose weight. And you feel really good about that decision. But then your body has these habits, and sometimes your body's habits and desires come in conflict with your will's decisions, and they just have to fight it out. And here's the bad news: habits eat willpower for breakfast. They just do. I remember one time fasting, and so I've made a decision. It's a decision of will. I'm not going to eat. And then, but I find myself walking by, and there's a basket of apples there, and I go, ooh, apples, you know, and I, wait a minute. And it takes a while to even to break out, because if you know, my body has a habit of when there's food there, I just eat it. I don't know if anybody else in here does that, but it's just, you know, it's a habit. But actually, the habits are actually really good things. Habits are, we need our bodies to go on automatic pilot, because we can tie our shoes and drive our cars and wash our dishes and make our beds and do all kinds of things without thinking about it. Because if we had to think, okay, now the rabbit goes around and the ears come, you know, if we had to think through tying our shoes every time, we wouldn't be able to live our lives. It's amazing that our bodies can learn these habits, and we, you know, things like, you know, playing a musical instrument, or things like that. We train our bodies, and we can do different things without thinking about it at all. The problem is sometimes we have habits in our bodies that go against what our will or what our minds are saying they ought to do. And so we have this internal conflict going on. And when our souls are not healthy and they're not integrating our mind and our body and our will together, those different parts of us are always fighting with each other. And you know where that ends up? Being weary and burdened. And being fatigued in a way that a nap doesn't help. And Jesus is saying, if you find yourself there, I've got an invitation for you. Come to me. Take my yoke on you. Learn from me. See, this is the kind of, Jesus is not just saying, come to me and take a nap. Come to me and look at the kind of life that I want to give you. This is a kind of rest that that comes because you come and you nourish your soul, and your soul gets strengthened, and then your soul can do a better job of integrating your mind and your body and your will, so that there's not this internal conflict going on all the time. And that's what soul rest is, where you can take a breath. And feel good about being not perfect, not sinless, but at peace, accepted by God, but also nourishing your soul, restoring your soul. Psalm 23 says that God restores my soul. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But our bodies and our will can be in conflict with each other. Sometimes our thoughts and our feelings can be in conflict with each other. Sometimes our thoughts can be in conflict with our thoughts. Or our feelings in conflict with our feelings. But if our soul is healthy, it's this small, fragile part of us that actually has the ability and the power to make all the other parts of us work together in the way that they're supposed to. When your soul is healthy, it integrates all the parts of you together so that you're not living in constant internal conflict. That's its job. That's the job that our souls are made to do. It's this eternal part of us that God made to integrate all the other parts. But when our soul is restored, our soul is healthy, it gives us soul rest, and it's a kind of rest that you can't get from a good night's sleep or a nap. It's the kind of rest that doesn't necessarily come just from kicking back in the lazy boy and catching the game. Although, you know, There's something to be said for that, right, Phil? Absolutely. And there's something to be said for taking a nap, and there's something to be said for getting a good night's sleep, because we need to take care of our bodies, just like we need to take care of our minds and all of us. But where our soul gets nourished is from God. And the thing about our soul is our soul is not a tyrant. Sometimes we can feel like our bodies are tyrants. I want that. But our soul is not like that. Our soul is it really speaks to us, but it's not an all caps, you know, exclamation point kind of a deal. It's not a yell, it's a whisper. And our souls, unfortunately, are really easily ignored. But Jesus says, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Soul rest is only available from God. But sometimes, even if we know that, sometimes we still fight coming to God. And I don't know, I don't really have an explanation for it, other than it's just the way we are somehow. Sometimes we fight. It's like the kid. It's like the little kid who doesn't want to go to bed. Any of you ever had kids that didn't want to go to bed? Basically, it's the same number of people who have kids. Because you think you're going to miss something. But we sometimes we can fight coming to God for soul rest the way a little kid fights bedtime. And the tighter they get, the more they fight bedtime. It's like they're so unhinged by exhaustion that the only thing that makes sense to them right now is to rage against bedtime. But I think there's a part of us that when we find our souls weary and burdened, and our souls are not bringing internal peace and not dealing with the conflict between our wills and our minds and our bodies, we can get agitated and we get anxious and we start trying to... we probably all do different things, but we try to bring order somehow. And we think we just need more sleep. Or we think we just need to chill out and watch the game. Or we think we just need some time away. Or we need, you know, if I just get everything, if I just have a perfect plan, or if I can just work harder and get more done, I'll feel better about myself. And fill in the blank. What is it? What is it for you? When really what our soul is trying to say to us is something like, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. But it just whispers, and it's easily ignored. Look at Psalm 62. This is a psalm of David. We start reading verse 1. It says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. You know, David says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. And then he goes on to say, there are some people in his life right then that don't seem to be out for his good. They're assaulting him. They're attacking him. And he refers to these things that maybe look like they would be supports, but they're not reliable. A leaning wall, a tottering fence. You know, don't lean on those things. Lean on God. And he starts off by declaring to other people, you know, my soul, he says, listen, my soul finds rest in God alone. But then later on down in verse 5, he finds that he actually needs to talk to his own soul. He says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. He's like, sometimes you need to remind your soul that that's where your soul needs to find rest. And then he says again to all the people, O people, verse 8, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your hearts to God, for God's our refuge. Sometimes we think our well-being depends on getting it all done or being more productive. Or maybe we think we'll miss something. I don't have time to bring my soul into God's presence because I've got things to do, people to see, places to go. We got to go. And if I can just get all that done, then things will be fine. But Those are leaning walls and tottering fences. David declares to the people in the assembly, then he even tells his own soul, listen, remember, God is where you'll find rest for your soul. One of the best-known psalms of David is Psalm 23. I referred to it earlier. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, I want to ask you, where are your green pastures? Where are your quiet waters? You know, we just went to the beach for a week, and I love being at the beach. Unfortunately, I don't live my life at the beach. You know, my quiet waters, the places where God quiets my soul, is actually at Crashing Waters. just a barren sandy beach is a green pasture to me. The point is not that it's a green pasture or a quiet water. You know, those are what sheep are looking for. But God wants to meet us in a place where He can restore our souls. But we have to make our souls available. We have to respond to the invitation to come to Jesus, to quiet ourselves. And I grew up all my life growing up in church with an idea in my head about what a quiet time is. And it means you get out your big study Bible and two or three other books, and you get your notebook and you're typing on your computer, and you really do this intense study, and then you go through a big prayer list, and that's a really great quiet time, and there's absolutely nothing quiet about it. You might not be talking, but what this is talking about is coming, quieting your soul before God and saying, God, my soul finds rest in you alone. And it doesn't mean that you won't study or you won't pray or you won't refer to a prayer list. But soul rest involves quieting ourselves before God, stilling ourselves. Like that psalm that we all know and probably all struggle with, putting it into practice, be still and know that I am God. One translation says, cease striving and know that I am God. God, you are God, and I'm not. But day in, day out, where are your green pastures? Where are your quiet waters? Where will you go to be with God? God's waiting. And Jesus' invitation still stands. Always, no matter what's going on, come to me if you're weary and burdened. All who are weary and burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. We need to learn to make time to strengthen our souls so that they can integrate our minds and our bodies and our wills to deal with the internal conflict that goes on from time to time in all of us, but to have peace, to have soul rest. Do you think your life would be different if you made time for that? If you're not making time for it, your life would be different if you did. We need to learn to make time. Also, I think it would be good to just imitate David here and learn to speak to our souls. I think sometimes we need to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Yeah, that's another psalm. Or here, my soul finds rest in God alone. He says, I'll declare that, but I'm gonna speak directly to my soul and say, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. So we need to learn to speak to our souls, but I think also, and this is a little trickier, we need to learn to listen to our souls. Because our souls are not rude. They're not aggressive. They don't take over. But they speak. They whisper. So we have to listen. We have to pay attention. And your soul might be saying something like, all that stuff that you think you need to have so that you'll feel better, all the stuff that you need that'll make this churning inside go away, it's a leaning wall, it's a tottering fence. Don't lean on those things. Your soul will find rest in God alone. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Let's pray.